And keys. The nation is paying tribute to service members on this Veterans Day. Ceremonies are being held across the U.S. in Washington, D.C. at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, in New York City, and in Virginia, where President Biden is speaking soon at Arlington National Cemetery. Israel is continuing its attacks in Gaza and says it is clashing with Hamas militants near the largest hospital there, but is not firing on the facility. Reporter Yotam Confino in Tel Aviv.
The international pressure on Israel is mounting, with French President Emmanuel Macron calling on Israel to stop dropping bombs on Gaza, which kills babies and women. Prime Minister Netanyahu fired back at Macron, saying the responsibility for any harm to civilians lies with Hamas. The terror organization, he said, is using schools, mosques, and hospitals as terrorist command centers. Yotam Confino for CBS News in Tel Aviv.
More than 80 people were arrested after counter-protesters crashed a London pro-Palestinian demonstration. In this nation, anger and hostility amid protests in many areas supporting Israel or Palestinian civilians. Police in cities, including New York, say they are being stretched thin. CBS's Christina Ruffini.
In the U.S., tensions are running high. From Boston to Atlanta.
Free Palestine!
Free! Free Palestine!
And California.
Shehalach le'olam.
Where earlier this week, a 69-year-old Jewish man was killed following an altercation during dueling demonstrations.
Former President Trump and his defense attorneys have submitted a new five-page court filing in his election conspiracy criminal trial in New York, in Washington, D.C. They have notified the judge they will support a media request to televise the proceeding. To college football now, as the University of Michigan begins its battle against Penn State without coach Jim Harbaugh on the sidelines. This after the Big Ten banned him from the school's final three regular season games over allegations of sign stealing. CBS Sports college football analyst John Berger says his absence could hurt today.
A lot of people say it doesn't matter that he's on the sideline. It does the first couple games because he got communication issues. This guy runs the ship. He calls the shots.
In space.
Dragging contact and soft capture complete.
An unpiloted SpaceX cargo ship docked at the International Space Station early this morning, carrying 6,500 pounds of supplies, along with holiday treats and some gifts for the seven crew members. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
93.5 The Tap. This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap. Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Earl Ingram.
Clearly, at this point, what is going on in Congress and the importance of the speaker, that's always been a high-profile position, Sandy. Why can't we get that fixed?
The problem, really.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A Wisconsin grand jury has indicted a Connecticut man accused of scamming older Wisconsinites. Consumer watchdogs have some tips to avoid being ripped off. Here's Mike Moan.
Matthew Ramos Soto of Hartford is accused of stealing $200,000 from Wisconsin seniors last year. The scam was to call the victims, falsely claim to be representing one of their younger relatives who had been arrested, and that bail money was needed. The Better Business Bureau's Kristen Johnson says disengaging right away can help people avoid this kind of scam.
Put down the phone, hang it up, and call your grandchild. Do not call the number on your caller ID, because scammers can spoof caller IDs. They can spoof names and numbers. Actually call that grandchild and say, did you really just call me? Are you really in trouble?
Other ways people can remain vigilant are to ask questions of the scammer that only a family member can answer, and to not wire money if there is any doubt about the call. Johnson urges anyone who's been a victim to report it on the Better Business Bureau scam tracker. Ramos Soto faces a maximum penalty of 20 years in federal prison if convicted. Though older adults are some of the more likely targets for scams like this, they're not the most susceptible to them, with experts pointing to vulnerability among those ages 18 to 24. Still, Johnson notes there are big concerns about the impact on older populations.
So while older adults were less likely to fall for scams when targeted, when they did fall for them, they lost a lot more money than someone ages 18 to 24.
Around 74% of adults age 55 and older are susceptible. In 2022, this population lost around $350 on average per scam. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Craigscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media
with
and
your forecast,
the Civic
I'm
Media
Corey
app.
Hartman. For today, some sprinkles or light rain showers. We'll see a high around 42. For tonight, chance of rain, mostly cloudy, lows around 38. Gradually becoming sunny on your Sunday with highs in the mid-50s. For Monday, look for sunshine and a high around 52. That's weather.
It's 39 at our studios.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
Hey, folks, welcome to the Cripescast. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens. This is the podcast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest. We are brought to you by Jolly Good Soda, and here is today's episode. Hey, folks, how we doing? Excuse the voice. I know I'm a little bit, I don't know if I'm sick or just, I did a slew of shows over the weekend, and then I've been doing podcasts since with Miles. We've been doing our Bellied Up podcast, Miles Montplaisir, the You Betcha guy, who is also our guest on today's Cripescast. Miles and I have another podcast together, the Bellied Up podcast. Those of you who've been listening to the show for a while know that. Those of you who don't. Now you know. I'm sitting in a hotel in Fargo right now. Oh, Fargo is beautiful this time of the year, folks. I tell you what. Jeez Louise. It hasn't quite snowed here yet, so it doesn't quite look like a moon landing, but a little pre-moon landing Fargo. What else do we got cooking? Oh, I was on tour this past weekend in Burnsville, Minnesota. Boy, oh boy, we had six shows. Six shows there. I cannot thank you guys enough for coming out and seeing me. I felt like a lot of the shows were really good. I'm really working out this new hour and finding what hits and what doesn't. So when you have six shows right back to back to back to back, really helps you do that. So, man, I had a lot of fun. Really did. Thank you, Burnsville. Coming up this week, I guess Marshfield. I'm going to go see you, Houghton, up in the UP of Michigan. That'll be fun. And then Fish Creek, baby, the thumb of Wisconsin. I'll be there on Sunday. All right. With that, folks, here is my conversation with my very good pal, Miles Montplaisir. Miles, the You Betcha guy, the co-host of the Bellied Up. Miles, my buddy. Here we go. All right, here I am with one of my very, very, very dear friends, Miles Montplaisir, the You Betcha guy. He's been on the podcast a few times. Mm-hmm. I think you've been on the Cripescast the most of any other guest, Miles.
That adds up. We get together and podcast every nine weeks.
So. Yeah, which we do for folks who don't know for the Bellied Up podcast. Miles, give the spiel of the Bellied Up podcast for people who might want to see us on, you know, our own podcast.
Yeah, together. Bellied Up podcast. Basically, Charlie and I go and belly up to a bar. And just like any good bar, we give good advice while we're drinking at the bar.
Yeah. Do you actually think that we give good advice?
Well, there's sometimes where I come to a fork in the road, Charlie.
Yeah.
And one path says give good advice. And then the other side says give bad advice, but it will be funny.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I take the second road.
It is a lot more fun. I try sometimes to actually give good advice, and you take that fork and you stick it in my tires.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, you deflate that right away.
I think they call that a yin and yang, Charlie.
Yin and yang. It's nice.
But yeah, thanks for having me back on the podcast.
I think, though, your
audience has got to be pretty sick of us doing this.
No, doing what, Miles? What do you think we're doing right now?
You and I doing the Cripes cast together.
Do you think the audience is thinking, oh, boy, Charlie didn't have another guest. He didn't plan ahead.
If they're followers of you, yes, they should know that by now.
Well, Miles, that's not true. And I want the audience to know that that's not true. By the way, if you're wondering where we're recording, we are recording in Miles's very clean podcast studio.
Home game for me here, away game for you.
It is an away game. So what you been up to lately, huh? Give people a sense of you're married now, you know. Have you been on the podcast since you got married?
I don't think so.
Yeah, no, it has been a minute. So it's really a treat to have you
back.
Yeah,
it's been at least a year, don't you think? Yeah, yeah.
All right, Miles.
So I'm still married, by the way.
Good for you. Yeah. I was going to ask. It's going good then.
So far, so good. Still married. Isn't that the goal of marriage, pretty much? Just to stay married?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, on top of that, the frosting on top of
the love.
Yeah. And enjoying the marriage and growing your life with somebody and this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah. But mostly just stay married, right?
Yeah, something like that. So, Miles, what are the top three tips you have for staying happily married in the Midwest?
Well, I don't know about just the Midwest. I think just in general, though, what I've noticed, really got to pick your battles.
Yeah.
There's some times where, like, you could bring up something, and then you just got to think, like, this is not worth it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Well, give me one recently where
I don't really have an example. It's mostly just, like I've also noticed that the sooner you come to just know that you're going to get scheduled for stuff that you don't really want to do and you just have to do it, that's part of marriage, the easier it's going to go. Stuff will just show up on my calendar of dinner with these people and whatever. And it's just like, oh, just have to accept that and not be like, well, I'm busy or anything like that. You just have to do it.
Just do it. Yeah. Don't make a fight over something that you can stomach.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. That's good. Next.
Oh.
I asked for three.
Okay.
That was one.
Well, one was pick your battles. Two, accept that you're going to have to go to stuff that you don't want to.
Okay. I feel like you're really stretching. I feel like that could have been a bullet point under one, but that's fine. All right. We'll go right to three.
What's three? The other thing is, I think that marriage is getting a bad rap these days. You know, it's like, I feel like every time I go on social media, it's like, marriage is hard. And I know it's like only been 6 months, but there's not even been close to like, oh, this marriage thing is hard. It's just, I feel like.
Well, that's great.
I know. That's kind of what I mean is if you find the right person, it shouldn't be hard.
Find the right.
But everyone's always like, marriage is so hard. And I don't have kids yet, so that might change.
Yeah.
But that being a parent's hard, not marriage, I feel.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No,
it might be ludicrous of me here.
That's a good philosophy.
And Anne may leave me tomorrow, and then I'm like, all this is shot. So if Anne leaves me, I'm going to need to do an emergency Cripes cast with you and just backtrack everything I just said.
An ECC. Yeah. We can do that. We can line that up. How is Anne doing?
She's good.
Yeah. Nice. Great. You know, Miles, it's like pulling teeth on this podcast. What are these one word answers?
Well, hey, that was kind of a. Yeah, she's been doing great. You know, she's got her stuff and she's been keeping busy. And
now we're talking. Now that's a response I can work with.
The token interview answer.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm on David Letterman right now.
Why do you have to roast me on my own podcast?
That wasn't a roast. David Letterman had a very successful career.
Well, I know, but I mean, you're commenting on the style, the late night style. Funny. You feel like there's an audience right there or something. So you meant that in a good way, then?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll take that.
Yeah. Next segment is, does it sink or does it float?
Yeah.
That would actually be kind of fun.
That would be good. Yeah. Nice. Hey,
starting off with Miles's marriage. Does it sink or does it float?
6 months in, still floating. So what made you guys want to redesign the podcast studio?
Well, our first podcast studio was just kind of stuffy. You know, it felt too corporate-y, felt a little too David Letterman. And
I also like how Jared's over here laughing at Jared. Can you please start laughing at my jokes too? Okay. Not just Miles's. Yeah, I'll do that. And when you laugh at Miles's, can you laugh just a little bit off the mic so they think he's getting lots of laughs at me? That'd be great. Thanks. Yeah. It's my podcast.
So now. We just kind of threw this together. We got a bunch of random stuff. That's a deer I shot there.
Was that the first deer you shot, Miles?
That was my second deer I ever shot.
Okay, well, I'm glad you brought that up. It's deer season now. I've been out once. I went out bow hunting one time. Gun season starts in Wisconsin. Is it this weekend? No, next weekend. But it opened up in Minnesota, and you went.
I went. And I didn't go hunting. I just went and sat in the woods for 15 hours over the weekend and didn't shoot anything. So I don't think I'm technically hunting then. I'm more so just sitting in nature.
Do you enjoy sitting in nature?
I do for like 2 hours.
2 hours.
Then, you know, because so where we hunt, I got to walk into the woods to my deer stand, right? So we park outside and then I go walk in. Of course, it's uphill. And I got all my gear on and I got my backpack, my gun, my snowsuit, and I'm going to my stand. By the time I get there, I'm in a full sweat.
Yeah.
So first then you're like, okay, well now I got to start shedding layers. But then about an hour later, your blood starts to settle a little bit. Then you start getting cold. Then you got to put layers back on. And it's this whole thing of just hot, cold, hot, cold. Then by hour three, you can't feel your toes and you're like, what am I doing out here? I haven't shot anything.
Are you a big snacker in the deer stand?
I'm kind of paranoid a little bit.
Because you'd think the sense of the food you're
eating. If I was like sitting in a heated stand in a field and that whole thing, I would be snacking whole time.
Yeah.
Because I'm in close quarters in the woods. It's, in my opinion, it's like a little bit closer to bow hunting that way where like I'm just in the woods. I'm not in an enclosed stand or anything like that. So I get a little paranoid, but you reach a point where you're like, honestly, I'm so hungry and I need some coffee. Do I really care that much if I shoot a deer? I think I'd rather eat.
Yeah. You know, you kind of try to eat a little bit, especially you get yourself nice and full before you go up there. So you're not tempted to do it, but at some point you're going to be like, all right, this is going to throw off the scent. The little rapping noises might, you know, cause a deer to go away, but I'm just going to do it anyway. It's just how it rolls there. Mm-hmm. Did you have any deer hunting thoughts when you were up there? You know, just deer stand thoughts, random things that came into the old noggin, that realizations, anything?
Yeah, I think there's almost stages, right? Like the first stage is this first, like you go through, because I got a range finder.
Yeah.
You start trying to guess how far away trees are.
I was doing that same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that one looks about 40 and it's like 36.
Yeah.
So there's that stage. Then you spend so much time looking at the ground. Once in a while, I like to just look at the sky.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What do you like about looking at the sky there, Miles?
I like watching all the trees sway.
Do you ever think about all the trees that don't fall on you?
Like all the trees ever?
Yeah, it's a
I've never had a tree fall on me.
Well, it happens. A buddy of mine had a tree fall on him.
That's like maybe the worst luck I've ever heard.
It's bad luck, but it's a gratitude practice because you look around at the trees.
Well, then you start getting deep, right? Then you're like thinking like that tree is so old.
I know.
Right? Like a 40-foot high tree has got to be hundreds of years old.
And you think about all the stuff that tree has seen.
All of the times it's seen me fall asleep in the stand.
Yeah. Did you have your phone out there with you?
I try not to.
Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah, mostly because I'm afraid that I'm going to have my sound on and I'm scrolling on Instagram and then all of a sudden you hear, hey there, folks. Welcome to the Cripes Cast. And I'm like,
you know what? It would be an honor of mine to scare a big old buck away from you.
Yeah.
So then, all right. So you go from looking at the clouds, guessing with the rangefinder, staring at a leaf. What comes next?
And then you get to a point where you're now getting it. I think before there's two more stages. The next stage is, what am I even doing out here? Think of all the other stuff I could be doing instead of just sitting here staring at the leaves. Right. And then the last stage is just, you just get mad.
Yeah.
You're just mad you haven't seen anything or that the right deer hasn't walked through. But I was thinking, Charlie.
Yeah. Good for you.
There you go.
Yeah, thank you, Jared. I appreciate that laugh.
I was thinking.
Yeah.
The fact that we ever do shoot a big buck is kind of a miracle. The chances that the day that you're sitting in that tree, the chances that that perfect buck is walking through, the chance got to be really low. Because they travel all over the place.
They're wanderers.
The weather's got to be right. Like all that stuff.
Can't have too much wind.
So really, it's kind of like baseball. You should only bat 300. You shouldn't be batting 1,000 when you're out there.
If you are, people are starting to wonder. Yeah. Are you baiting them?
Are you doing
some weird stuff?
Chaining them to a tree and waiting until you go out there?
Yeah. I've never heard of that.
That doesn't actually happen.
Are you sure that's not how you got that one right there? Did you buy that from a farm? And
I think legal advice would tell me to stop talking now.
Plead the fifth?
Yeah.
Tell us about your first buck. Miles.
Oh, it's a great story.
Yeah. How old were you?
Is it not embarrassing? I mean, I was like pretty young. I don't know, like 13.
Yeah. Gun hunting, bow hunting.
Gun hunting.
Okay.
I don't really bow hunt, mostly because my dad didn't bow hunt. So I just never did it growing up.
Yeah.
So I went hunting and I was actually in the stand with my dad and this little spike buck came walking in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was all sorts of jittery, you know, the old buck fever, your heart starts beating, you're shaking a little bit.
Yeah.
And I had a terrible shot.
Oh no.
Terrible.
Where'd you shoot it?
So my first shot, I think it was in its hind leg.
Oh God.
And then the second shot, it was a gut shot.
Oh geez.
But we got her on the ground, you know, it didn't suffer for too long there.
Okay.
And then we walk up to it and one of the spikes, the one of the antlers didn't go up. It went like into its ear and like wrapped around the bottom side of the ear.
Weird.
It was really weird.
Did you mount that?
No, God, no.
It would have been kind of funny if you did.
Yeah. And my uncle actually that was 17 years ago. So yeah, I've been 13 years old. 17 years ago, I shot my first buck. And he saw the photo and I had the classic middle school long swooping hair over the front of the forehead.
The bob.
Embarrassing. Yeah. But I still wear the same like hat that I did back then.
Really?
Every year.
It's
like one that Velcros on the top and the flaps come down and go underneath.
It's your lucky deer hunting hat.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you. Well, that was nice. And did your dad teach you how to field dress it and everything? Yeah,
lots of heavy breathing, lots of gagging going on. I don't do well with the smells.
Ah,
it's not so much doing it, it's the smells that I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's not.
I was not built to work in sanitation. Let's just say that.
Got it. Well said. Mm-hmm. Well said.
Yeah, like I think smells will make me queasy more than seeing something bad.
Well, why don't you get a little nose plugger?
You could. Or we could go hunting together and you can just hold my nose shut while I'm gutting the deer.
That I would be honored to hold your nose shut.
You that would be something else.
That would be a little
goofy. You can hold one of the legs too.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I'd love to hold one of your deer legs. At that point,
I remember too, like one of the first times, like when you're, you know, cutting him open.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's such a weird, you're like, okay, so I'm just gonna grab the deer's nuts.
Yep. That's
the and that's what hold her to the start. Side. You know, it's like, all right, this is I don't know. Is it's like Chris Hansen gonna pop out from one of the trees and tell me I'm getting a little too friendly with it or what?
Yeah, it is a weird thing.
But not once you get over it, it's fine. But
yeah, you always think the person's messing with you when they teach you how.
Yeah, like, we shouldn't go, hey, you remember your first buck? It's like, you remember your first buck nuts?
Grab those. Now look for the anus. Oh, good. I'm glad we're diving into this like that, Miles. It's nice. Hey, we got some fan sort of questions here.
Oh, really? And you guys do fan questions?
Yeah.
All right. Are they good?
Some of them, yeah, are very good.
How many of them are mean?
None are mean. Don't worry. I took out all the mean ones. What, Miles, was your first impression of me when we first met?
My first impression was, one, this guy needs to get some sleep.
Okay. Why the sleep thing? You brought that up before. Is it the eyes?
Yeah, it's a little bit the eyes.
Under the eyes.
You've been getting more sleep lately, though. I can tell.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
It's the nicest thing you said to me. I remember. So you're older than me.
Okay. Here we go.
No, this is like, so you're like 6 years older than me, right?
I'm 36.
Yeah. So you're 6 years older than me. And you, the way you carried yourself the first time we met, I could tell that you were more seasoned than I was. And I felt a little fish out of water.
Oh, you felt a little threatened.
Felt like, okay, I got to be on my game because this guy knows what he's doing here.
Little did you know.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. So it was a little bit like, this guy's a comedian. Like, I got to be funny. I got to like hang with him here. I just remember that being not like intimidated, but just like, I got to be on my A game here because this guy knows what he's doing.
Mm, well, that's nice. Thanks for pumping my tires.
Because I remember at this point, we've come full circle. We do this now a lot, but I only shot stuff on iPhone at that point. So I didn't even use a camera for any of my videos. And you showed up with a buddy.
Yeah.
And he had a whole rig set up with a camera. He had a gimbal. He was getting side. It was all over the place. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. All right. That was my buddy, Justin Ferrari. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The School of Ope. That mm-hmm. was it. We shot that in Minneapolis.
You got oped. Start that.
That's a good one. Put that on.
Kind of like punked, but Midwest style.
Midwest style. I like.
Oh, gotcha. It's actually,
that's not bad.
We could do it. Yeah,
thanks, Jared.
Prank show.
We could
call it Oped.
Oped.
It's good.
Sell that. That's not a bad idea.
And all the pranks are like super mild.
Yeah,
like they're not mean at all.
No.
Yeah, you put like green beans in a casserole instead of corn.
Or you're calling it. I call it casserole and not hot dish. Yeah, I brought 3.2% beer instead of the 4.1. Classic. You thought you were getting drunk, but you're not.
You're just getting bloated.
You just got oped.
All right. The next question is, what was my first impression of you?
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. I will say this. First time I met you, you got out of the car. I went in for the hand hug. Where you shake the hand, you do the smack on the back. You were not for that. You maintained straight hand. It was an awkward first embrace. It's what I remember. That's what sticks in the dome.
I didn't grow up in a family that did a lot of embracing.
Well, neither did I.
So I think that's just probably part of my nature. Okay. I'm not a good embracer in general.
Okay, so first time meeting, it's just straight handshake.
But I have noticed that I was like that, and so I've tried to be more friendly with embraces.
Yeah, you've tried to give a little the half hug.
If a guy puts his hands out and I like him, you know, just give him the hug.
Oh, there you go.
The big pat on the back.
Yeah, that's nice. Well, that was.
And then it's like that's always paired with like a. And then like a, good to see you, man.
Cool bar here, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice little small talk.
Well, yeah, I could see that.
I have shows coming up in Fargo. Is Miles going to do 5 minute set again?
I don't know, dude.
Why don't you know?
Because it consumes me. Like that 5 minutes, my entire day, I'm worried about it. And then I go up and do it and it's not that good. And I'm like, I just wasted a whole day on this for 5 minutes.
Well, Miles, that's the art of stand up right there.
I know. Honestly, I don't think folks understand how much work actually goes into stand up comedy. And like, how just through working with you and other comedians, the amount of respect I have for comedians is through the roof,
including me.
Yeah. Even you, Charlie.
Wow.
Sweet. And, But I am glad that I was able to get a peek under the hood with your comedy career to have the self-awareness. Not that like I couldn't do it, but that I just wouldn't be. It's not for me.
Yeah, it's not your thing. You got to be on the road a lot. You got to be
On the road a lot. There's a lot of writing involved. There's a lot of smaller shows bombing, doing all that stuff. And I don't know. Not for me.
Got it.
But you never know.
Well, because this leads into the next question. When are you guys going to do Bellied Up Live?
Well, we this summer we said we were going to do it this fall.
Yeah,
I think this fall we said we're going to do it this winter. So probably next fall we'll end up actually getting it done. But we've been talking about it.
We have. Actually, there's this new venue in Milwaukee. It's part of the Pabst Group. I forget the name of the venue. It's a new one. It's coming out. But they asked if we wanted to do a podcast there. So maybe
we've been floating it around.
Yeah.
Essentially, the idea is we would just do it like a normal Bellied Up podcast. But instead of callers, we would do like a lottery system and pull out numbers and people from the or ideas. People would submit their ideas when they walk in. And then we would go through and choose them and have them actually be audience members instead of callers, correct?
Yeah, I think something like that.
Something like that.
I almost like the idea of calling them up on stage.
Yeah.
Because I think that would be...
And bringing like a... So having some sort of bar set up there, I don't know.
Yeah.
Instead of just like a table.
No, that's true. They could. We should have an actual bar up there on stage. And then they can actually belly up to the bar with us.
Yeah.
And the bar we should just have... be like in kind of Last Supper style, you know, where we're all facing the
sitcom style. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be fun. I like that. Well, let's do it. We'll do it. We'll
this
do
is
it.
The
in
exact
few months.
Conversation we had this summer. We will do it.
We will.
Just taking a little bit.
Yeah. No,
Hey, we're letting it marinate.
We are. I mean, I feel pretty confident about it.
I do too.
On air, 93.5 FM. Online, thetap.com. And on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. President Biden and the First Lady laid a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier at Arlington National Cemetery.
Our veterans are the steel spine of this nation. And their families, like so many of you, are the courageous heart.
There are growing calls around the globe for Israel to stop bombing near hospitals and killing so many Palestinian civilians. Hospitals are running out of fuel for generators. CBS's Robert Berger in Jerusalem.
Israel is resisting pressure for a ceasefire and is blaming the growing casualties in Gaza on Hamas. The Israelis say that Hamas is using civilians as human shields.
The University of Michigan's game with Penn State has started without its coach on the sideline. CBS's Dennis Dodd.
This is going to get a lot more complicated and a lot worse before it gets better.
CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keyes.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The last time the Packers won a game in Pittsburgh was over 50 years ago, December 1970. Bart Starr still the quarterback. The Steelers had a rookie quarterback out of LSU who only completed 3 of 20 passes and 4 interceptions. His name? Terry Bradshaw. Today, the Steelers quarterback is from Pitt, Kenny Pickett, who talked about the Packers' defense.
They're really strong up front. They got, I think, you know, it all starts in the trenches. I think they got a great, you know, front four. They do some different things. Their linebackers are really aggressive, run well. Some veteran safeties that make a lot of plays on the ball and some of their zone coverage have some really good instincts for the ball.
Packers quarterback Jordan Love says he'll have to keep an eye on the Steelers linebacker, T.J. Watt from Wisconsin.
T.J.'s a great player, plays with, like, really good effort on every play, and I think their whole defense does a good job of that. So something we got to be able to match that.
That's Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, some sprinkles or light rain showers. We'll see a high around 42. For tonight, chance of rain, mostly cloudy, lows around 38. Gradually becoming sunny on your Sunday with highs in the mid-50s. For Monday, look for sunshine and a high around 52. That's weather.
Right now, 40 degrees.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
93.5, The Tap. Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5, The Tap.
Hey, if you're just tuning in, I'm Charlie Behrens, and this is the Cripescast with Civic Media. Here's my conversation with Miles Montplaisir.
Okay, I've got a little Midwest red flag, green flag. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now to play Midwest red flag, green flag with Miles, the You Betcha guy. Partner is addicted to pull tabs, red flag or green flag?
Green flag.
Partner has never been stuck in a snow ditch before.
God, you go both ways there.
How can you go both ways?
Because that means that they're good at driving in the winter.
It's true.
They've seen a corner or two, but in order to get good, you got to maybe go in the ditch.
It's like comedy. You got to bomb.
We'll go red flag.
Red
there.
Flag. Partner doesn't like deer hunting.
I mean, it's just no flag. Yeah. Like Anne doesn't hunt. She doesn't like hunting, but almost actually it's a green flag because you kind of just want to go hunting with the guys anyways.
That's true. Partner doesn't let you go deer hunting.
Red flag.
Partner prefers hot dog to brat.
Not a red flag.
Partner is always late because they got stuck in a Midwest goodbye.
Green flag.
Yeah, that's nice. And to know someone who can act in sort of a respectable way in a Midwest, someone who can kind of take the reins, take the pressure of the Midwest goodbye off of you.
Yeah, I mean, basically it's a get out of jail free card for anything, right? It's like having diarrhea. Having diarrhea will get you out of anything, right? It's show true. Up late. I was sorry. I was stuck in a Midwest goodbye. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, I totally understand. Yeah. Sorry, but sorry that you had to do that.
Why didn't you show up to church?
I was stuck in Midwest goodbye. Yeah. I stopped to get my Bible at the Bible store for church, and I got stuck in a Midwest goodbye with the great fellow that worked there.
Partner doesn't like coleslaw that comes with their fish fry.
It's not a red flag. I don't think it's like a, I don't love that. It's like a green flag. I don't think it's a red flag.
Do you like potato pancakes?
I haven't had that many times.
Oh yeah. They're real good. Partner calls it soda.
Is it just like lefse, but just a little, or
it's basically like hash browns, but more in a pancake form.
Mm.
Yeah.
Maybe I haven't had it.
Oh, they're real good. Real good. Real good.
Potato, making potato pancake like it's the weekend now. We can
could do a Midwest version of that song. That's a good idea.
On your next album.
On my next album. By the way, folks, the next album, Barons and Gruel, is coming out. Dive Bar Dinner.
Dinner, yeah.
Yeah. Charlie's got real good organization, folks. It's coming out the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. A little plug in the middle of the game we're playing. Partner calls it soda, not pop.
Red flag.
Really?
I guess, I don't
know. I mean, it's fine.
Calling it soda pop.
Hey, be confident. Call it soda pop. That's a red flag for sure. They believe, well, you don't care. Do you care if Michigan, do you care about the mitten states?
What do you mean, do I care?
I mean, do you have a strong opinion if Michigan looks like a mitten or Wisconsin looks like a mitten?
Well, I'm kind of, what would you call? I like to be rational.
Mm-hmm.
Except for when I'm being irrational.
Yeah. That seems
very rational. And I'm pretty sure that Michigan, if you just took the state outlines and showed it to someone who's never seen the United States before,
mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, they probably would say that Michigan looks more like a mitten.
Well, except for the UP. I don't need to go into this. I've discussed this in nauseam.
You asked.
You're wrong. Question. You're wrong is the answer to that.
It just looks, it's like actually has a thumb.
What are your thoughts on slow drivers in the left lane? We're back to more fan questions.
Okay. Jumping around. I like it.
Yeah.
Give me the chaos, Charlie.
Yeah. Slow drivers.
This is the organization I was talking about.
You know what, Miles? Relax. Walk through my brain with me for a little bit.
I don't like that.
You don't like slow drivers in the left lane?
Yeah.
Are you guilty of it yourself?
I try not to.
Yeah.
As soon as I notice that I got someone coming up behind me, I try to get right as fast as possible.
Get right or get fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are you a good driver, would you say?
I'm not going to put myself in that category.
No.
I don't get in accidents ever unless I was in high school.
That was what was the first?
I got like three or four accidents in high school.
What was the worst accident you got in?
Oh, I rear-ended a car at a stoplight.
Really?
Smash up the whole front of the pickup.
Oh my God.
They had a ball hitch on theirs though, so no damage to theirs, just all mine.
Really? What kind of car were you driving?
Well, so my dad, I was going to pick up a buddy from the airport.
Yeah.
My dad just got a brand new Ford. It was like 50 miles on it. And
you totaled it?
Almost totaled it.
Oh my God. Was it a sedan?
No, it was another pickup.
Oh, it was. So a pickup got tore up that much by a ball hitch, huh?
Yeah, just the ball hitch absorbs a lot of the blow.
Yeah.
So yeah, it had some damage, but not like my dad's. What sucked is the next day we were going deer hunting or mm-hmm. pheasant hunting, and my uncle and cousins and stuff were coming to pick us up at our house. And so we parked the truck around the corner so they wouldn't see it and give me the whole weekend.
Really?
Yeah. So they would have just let me have it.
So did you ask your dad to like hide the car? So
yeah, kind of. We were kind of like, we don't have to tell them, right, about this, you know.
I'm surprised not one of your brothers brought it up to throw you into the bus.
They were good. They were good to me. And it was one of those things too where it was like such a dumb thing. My dad was so mad that he wasn't mad. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Your dad will get so mad that he just is actually got like calm about it.
Yeah.
Which is almost scarier than him just blowing up and getting mad.
You kind of wonder, is he calm because he already let it out, got it out of the system? Or is he just holding that there and ready to blow up at any moment? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was in high school, okay?
You know what? One time in high school, my brother did this. So we were at a Walgreens. And we were picking up my buddy from a car dealership because his car was not doing good. So he took it to the old car doc. And so we were picking him up from the car doctor. And I was like, oh, there's Jay right over there. And these two parking lots, the Walgreens one and the car doctor, they were like right next to each other, except one parking lot was like 3 feet lower than the other one. And my brother didn't realize that. And he drove straight off. Oh, he did. He did. Yeah, my buddy was just sitting there like.
Front bumper come flying off or what?
No. No, they're honestly, it was a very resilient Nissan Altima.
Okay.
Yeah, it was somehow fine. Nobody found out. My parents didn't find out. All right.
Okay, well, then did you guys, if nothing happened, did you run it again?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, whip around. Like, we added a little more. Let's try it the other way.
Okay, this is an interesting one. Do Midwesterners feel like the middle child of America squeezed between New York City and La La Land? Do we feel like the middle child of America? Oh,
so, it's so awesome calling it La La Land.
I know.
I would say we feel a little middle childish, you know? We all got a drinking problem, you know? We all got a gambling problem. And, yeah.
And what, do you feel like, because middle child's kind of like vying for attention, you know? Do you
think? No, I feel like the middle child just doesn't really give a shit. They're just kind of doing their own thing. I feel like we're all kind of doing our own thing here in the Midwest.
And you're a middle child, aren't you?
So I'm in a weird spot. So my dad was married before.
Yeah.
And I got two older half siblings.
Okay.
And then it's me and my brother. So I'm like kind of a middle child, but I'm also kind of the oldest.
She got both vibes. I see you very much so. You got a lot of oldest child vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also some middle child tendencies.
Yeah, you kind of do mess around a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. When are you gonna cut your hair, you hippie?
I know where this is from. We got a guy on Facebook who's been letting me have it.
Oh yeah.
Comment.
I like the long hair. Can you show the audience? Can you take the hat off? Show the audience the long hair. Look at that mane. Oh my gosh. Yeah, you got really good hair, Miles.
Thanks. I got to flaunt it while I have it. I'm going to start losing it here soon.
Are you losing?
I don't know.
Are you seeing hair in the trap?
Yeah, but when you got long hair, you just always have hair rolling everywhere. So what happened was after my wedding,
yeah,
I forgot to schedule another haircut for like 6 months.
Yeah.
And then Anne said she likes it when I have long hair. And honestly, I don't really give a what everyone on the internet thinks, as long as the wife is happy with it. And I think that's what you gotta, that's number one.
Yeah. Right? Hey, and that's why you have such a successful marriage
so far.
So yeah. Far, six yeah. months in, six months. Do you think that if your hair does start to clearly fall out, do you think you would get the Propecia? Would you be one of those guys to get the Propeche?
What is that?
It's a hair growth spurring pill that you can take.
No, I think you just gotta go all natural.
So all natural, does that mean that you would go with like the what do they call it?
The Hulk Hogan?
The Hulk Hogan. Yeah, would you do that?
The what is that? Keep it What's long? The name of that? Just keep it long and just lose it all on top.
Yeah, the horseshoe, is that what it is?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Long horseshoe.
I think I cut it shorter and you probably just shave your head at some point.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I just wear a hat every day.
Yeah.
So almost anything.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to lose it all. I think I'm just going to recede a little bit because I got like uncles on my mom's side and my grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
Like he still has hair, but it's just like his forehead just gets bigger.
The old widow's peak.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, I got the widow's peak in my family.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not losing my hair yet. I mean, probably a little bit.
You going gray at all?
No, not yet.
I found a couple gray beard hairs the other day.
Well, you have such a darker colored hair.
It kind of sticks out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, I can probably get away with a few grays and be like, no, it's just blonde.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
That's my privilege, Miles. Okay, let's see here. What is, who's like North Dakota? North Dakota. Who's North Dakota's biggest beef with? Is it with South Dakota or is it with Minnesota?
I don't feel like we have a ton of beefs with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because no one wants to like come up here and fight us. You know what I mean? Like no one's traveling through North Dakota that much. Whereas like Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, you guys are all kind of intermingling a lot more.
Yeah.
But we're just kind of up here.
Yeah, right.
But in terms of sports wise, like NDSU is the big school in Fargo, obviously. Mm-hmm. And their rivals are SDSU, so be South Dakota. But then also just within North Dakota, like UND, University of North Dakota, they have a rival with. So I don't know. It's not like we really have. I wouldn't say there's like a state that we hate or anything like that. Okay. We don't have any fib energy on anyone.
Yeah, there's right, right. That is a very unique thing, I think, to Wisconsin and Illinois. And also, I think it stems from the sports teams. You know,
it's also everything is so far away, right? Like you get like Milwaukee's an hour from Chicago,
right?
Whereas like the nearest big, like to go to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, which is the closest bigger South Dakota, it's like 3 hours.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No,
going 80 miles an hour on the interstate, it's still 3 hours, you know?
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense, Miles.
Kind of want to, though.
Yeah, I know. It would be nice, like, to have a little rough housing with someone.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Miles, listen. If you could start a beef that North Dakota has with some other state or locality, who would it be and why?
I don't know. Montana's just too far away, right?
Is that even connected to this state?
yeah. You run right into it.
See, you don't even think about it like that. And just for the record, I knew it was connected.
And you don't want to go with South Dakota because South Dakota will out crazy you. There's no laws in South Dakota.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So explain to me the relationship of the top and bottom bunk here.
I feel like it's pretty like. There's not like a ton of beef. It's just more so. Like North Dakota is conservative, right? But then South Dakota is like uber conservative. They got no laws.
Do you think if you did a North Dakota versus South Dakota video, it would do well?
Yeah, what would suck is North Dakota, I think, would come off as like the more liberal state just because of like Fargo and stuff, right?
Like a little bit more pretentious.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
They're just also very similar.
Build these personalities around them.
I guess I've never tried to separate them or what makes them different.
Yeah.
Like there's differences, but they're not different.
Well, what are the differences? So South Dakota is a little bit more like rednecky, basically.
No.
Yeah, it's hard to explain.
It is so hard to explain.
Yeah.
Like North Dakota doesn't have any attractions.
That's not true. Fargo.
South Dakota has Mount Rushmore and Sturgis and Black Hills, Wall Drug, Corn Palace, where it's like we got the big buffalo in Jamestown, I guess.
That's the joke.
And the cow.
That's the joke. It's someone in South Dakota saying like we got this if you want to do that. We got that if you want to. We got this if you want to do whatever. And then it cuts to Fargo. It's like, yeah, there's the buffalo, I suppose.
But that's in Jamestown. It's not even Fargo.
Or I'm just saying all of North Dakota.
He just thinks that the entire state of North Dakota is Fargo.
It's not. Jeez. What else was that? I had this really humdinger of a question for you that I was going to ask, and I forgot it now. What the frick?
You need to punt on the red flag, green flag, and you just need to do humdinger questions.
That
should be your new segment.
Humdinger.
All right. Here comes a humdinger of a question for you. The first humdinger is
what your shoe size is.
What is your shoe size?
10.
10? You got a 10.
Why do you say it like that?
10? Because you're 6'1".
I know. I'm a white guy from North Dakota. What do you expect?
Do you wish you had bigger feet?
Yeah.
Yeah? Like,
I mean, is there a guy who's other than Shaquille O'Neal that is like, no, I don't want bigger feet?
Yeah. I mean, did you get in grade school? What was grade school Miles like? Like, were you the bully or were you bullied?
I was not bullied. I'll leave it at that.
Do you think there's
people out there that would, if you asked them now, I'd be like, yeah, he was kind of a.
Do you, are there any people from grade school that you're thinking about in your mind that you'd like to make amends to?
I'm thinking about people in my mind, but not anyone I want to make amends to.
Okay.
A lot of those people had it coming.
Still a bully. No. Still a bully, ladies and gentlemen.
No, there's probably, if I saw these people, I'd be like, hey, sorry, I was kind of a.
Yeah. You'd give a little bar amends.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of an interesting bit too. You know, guy around Thanksgiving at the bar, guy who apologizes for being a to the other guy in grade school. Yeah. Cool.
What about you? I don't feel like you were bullied, but no. You definitely weren't a bully. I was more of a bully than you were.
Yeah. I mean, you can tell that dynamic on the Bellied Up podcast. I get bullied on a regular basis there.
Bullied up.
Yeah. I'm just, you know, taking crap from Miles the whole time. That's okay, though. I understand. No, I kind of was a floater. I would float between different groups. You know, I was kind of a loner.
I just feel like you're a little bit too aloof to be a bully.
Yeah, I can't remember all the things I'm supposed to make fun of people for.
Yeah, and like you just don't notice the annoying stuff on people, I feel like. You just are like, whatever.
Yeah.
And then, you just don't notice the stuff that a bully would notice and make fun of someone for.
Bullies are very observant.
Yeah.
Very observant.
Yeah, and I think most bullies are insecure about something.
Yeah.
And so.
Oh, Jared, this is a big question.
I was overcompensating for my shoe size.
Was that it?
Probably.
Wow. Dang. Yeah, that's tough.
I also come from a family that does a lot of razzing. So,
maybe just a razzer.
I wasn't a bully. I was just razzing, you know?
Well, and some people kind of misunderstand the razzing for the bullying. Like, just like what you were saying at the beginning of this podcast.
Well, a lot of my confrontations would happen like at recess or at gym class because I'm a competitive sports guy.
I see.
So that was, you know,
the competitive nature.
Yeah.
So you would call people out, throw down, all that sort of stuff. Have you ever been in a fight?
A lot of chest bumping matches, but never an actual fist fight.
Do you think you would do good in a fight?
No.
No. Do you know how to
fight? I mean, my fight or flight would kick in, but I usually talk my way out of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like I had a buddy from high school that when we got into college and stuff and he'd come home. And he liked to mouth off and get into some. And I was always trying to step in to defuse the situation.
Oh,
yeah. I'm trying to defuse quite a bit.
Diffuser. Actually, this is one question that I wanted to bring up. And it's related to that. Earlier, when you were talking about your business mindset, you talked about your personality. And so you take a personality test and everyone who works at this company, right, takes a personality
test. Yeah, I mean, I think everyone should take it also for like marriage and relationships. Taking personality tests helps you understand the other person more. Because most of the time when you don't like someone or someone's pissing you off, it's because you think that they're doing this because they are trying to piss you off. But in reality, it's just a fault in their personality.
Mm-hmm.
And we all got the faults in our personalities. So if you can understand that, you can kind of like be a little more okay with it.
Mm, I see. So it's
right. Like now, like Charlie.
Yeah.
You and I both show up late to stuff.
Right.
Whereas if you don't understand that, that's just kind of part of our personality, not saying it's an excuse for us. But if you view it as they don't respect us enough to show up on time, that's going to piss you off. Right.
Right.
But if it's like, oh, they're not actually trying to be, they just are not very good at being on time.
Yeah,
it's a much different thought process, you know?
Guys, I'm late for everybody, you know?
Yeah.
That runs in my family. My sister had a wedding recently, and for the rehearsal part, the day before you do the rehearsal at the church, my parents showed up like 45 minutes late. And I was like, what? Like, it used to be growing up, we would show up late for everything, but we had an excuse because there were so many kids. And I was like, they don't have any more kids at home. I was like, what was the excuse? And they were like, traffic. I was like, 45 minutes? Good God.
In Wisconsin?
Yeah. It's pretty wild. Yeah, I took a personality test and...
You didn't like it.
I didn't like it because I was... First of all, my little cartoon was just me as like a... I was dressed up like a fairy with wings. You know, I had wings on there. I was a mediator.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Maybe it was on You Betcha Radio. He was all mad about last time he was here. He did this.
No, I think it was on the Bellied Up. We might have talked about it.
Yeah, it was like one of the first episodes, wasn't it?
No,
it was at Matt's Bar in Minneapolis.
Oh,
last spring, I think.
Home of the Juicy Lucy.
Yeah, you were all worked up that you're a mediator.
I was kind of upset about that. Do you have any other mediators here at the company or no? Am I the only other mediator?
I think you're the only mediator.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5 The Tap. The civic media network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed.
local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Earl Ingram.
If all the other things globally aren't enough to give us pause, healthcare premiums rose 8% this year. And so corporations are starting to feel the strain of offering healthcare to their employees, and more of them are abdicating that. What are people to do?
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Allison Keyes.